Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the fourth lecture on Genesis. I continue from the last lecture to explain the creation work of the fifth day. God created the fish in the waters and the birds in the air. Genesis chapter 21 says God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm after their kinds. And every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves and the swarms in the waters, each according to its kind. At this time, fish were created also in the fresh waters. Every living creature that moves with which the waters swamp was created that day. Sawfish with hard shells, mollusk like a squid and the octopus, things that crawl on the bottom of the sea, like a crabs and the crayfish, and the aquatic plants that cannot survive outside of the water were also created on this day. By the way, the great sea monsters are especially mentioned in these verses. What are these great sea monsters? These monsters are mentioned in the book of Job, and they refer to the fish which are immense in size, such as whales. Currently, the largest true whale existing on Earth is the blue whale. Blue whales can reach up to the 33 meters in length and 190 tons or more in weight. Unlike other fish, whales give birth to their young instead of the eggs, feed them milk, and breathe with the lungs instead of gills. Therefore, biology defines the whales not as a fish but as a mammal, so just like a cows, horses, or lambs. Whales are not classified as a fish, but as a mammals. What is that? They don't lay eggs, but give birth to their young, feed them milk, and breathe through lungs. Mammals, in the terms of the biology, were created on the sixth day, but God said that the great fish, the whale, was created in the same day as the other fish, that is, on the fifth day. God also says that you can find out how long they will exist if you take a measurement on the date they came to exist. Scientists agree that all kinds of whales that exist today also exist 2 million years ago. They also acknowledge that whales that look like them today have existed for a very long time. Looking at this whale, we can better understand that life was created, not evolved. Evolutionists says that the fish that live in the water evolved into the animals that live both in land and water, and then became animals that live on the land. Regarding this whale, they claim that it's an animal that originally lived on the land but evolved into the live in the water. They claim that the whales are mammals because they give birth and breathe with their lungs, and that they probably live on the land but went into the sea because they had nothing to eat. They then claim that they evolved into the large fish.
So,
They insist that some animals that starved on the land went back to the waters where there was much more to eat. As a ground for their theory, they present a fossil of a whale which has a remnant trace of a leg. But think about it. How on earth could something like this happen? However, the animal of the fossils originally looked like that. Look at the animals such as the seals. There's something that looks like a foot in the front. So it looks like an intermediate stage between aquatic and terrestrial animals, as involutionists say. However, other seals and the sea lions were originally created that way, not as an intermediate stage of the evolution. They were just created that way. Evolutionists use their rich imagination to force small pieces of knowledge into the framework of the evolution. So they make claims that are both incomprehensible and logically contradictory. Dear brothers and sisters, think about it. How could the fish evolve so that its fins disappear and the legs generate in their place? They also insist that the whales were originally land animals, but that their legs disappeared and the fins came to exist again. Compare both sides. How can something like this happen even ever after hundreds of millions of years? Evolutionists claim that such an odd things like can take place for over a long period of time. I think it will become even more impossible over a long period of time. I will explain it later. Evolutionists themselves don't believe in the theory that fish can evolve into the land animals in a short period of time. But they insist that fish can become a land animals if they evolve for over a very long period of time. Though they argue that is extremely unlikely, they argue that it may still be possible over a long time. Evolutionists usually explain their evolutionary theory in this way. If you think about it for a moment, you can easily see how far-fetched this claim is. If a fish were to evolve and live on land, many changes would have to occur. If a fish lose their fins and only grow legs, will they be able to live on land? To be able to breathe the air out of the water while on the land, their internal organs should change together as well. Sea women, even after being passed down for so long, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, ancestors, even after being passed down for long, they still can't survive in the water, even though they are living in a fishing village for generations and becoming a sea woman. They still can't survive in the water. They can't survive without breathing. For an organism that was adapted to the breathing underwater to survive on land, its entire internal system must evolve to accommodate air breathing. Moreover, this change should not take place individually. It's not plausible that fins would evolve into the legs before the necessary changes occurred. All the required adaptations must happen simultaneously. I mean, at the same time, don't you think? It means that everything there inside and outside, body and the system and the structure should be changed all the same time. Even if they changed all at once, problem would still remain. In the middle of the changes, all the functions might have been unstable. However, evolutionists insist that the unstable intermediate process lasted for a long period of time. If a sea creature had evolved on the land, how could it adapt a completely different breathing method in such a short time? And how did it eat on the land while it was evolving? Did someone provide it with a food for a long time? How did this creature move around and find food while its legs were growing for a long, long time? Everything is problem. Eating is problem, moving is problem, breathing is problem. It's impossible they exist that kind of a status for a long time on the land. Who provided their food during their status intermediate kind of a course like that? With such a system of unstable body parts, it wouldn't be easy for them to find food in the water or on the land. In this imperfect status, accustomed to both water and the land, it would be difficult to find food. If that creature had come out onto land and lived, would other animals or humans have waited until it had fully evolved into the land animals? Wouldn't it have been eaten and or become extinct before it had fully evolved? Also, how could it have reproduced by the giving birth to live young like mammals instead of the just brooding? If there were intermediate stage of that creature, they should have been preserved as a fossils. But the fossils that are discovered sometimes make a big deal about it, but those fossils are neither true or correct. I hope you will not be deceived by such news. Most of the fossils discovered have the same shape as extinct animals. There are fossils that evolutionists argue that the missing links, but they were either proved to be a hoax or they were the animals that originally looked like that. Sometimes evolutionists present what they call the traditional fossils, but these are either false or fossil or animals that originally looked like that. A fossil called Lamapithecus, which was believed an ancestor of human beings, actually turned out to be the same as the orangutan. The Piltdownian man, which was known as the missing link, turned out of the hoax of the skull of the man and the jaw of the monkeys. Since God created everything after their kinds from the beginning, fossils which are called missing links cannot be found. In fact, people all over the world are desperately trying to find a fossil of the intermediate forms of the creatures they claim to have. However, there's no way to find them. Most of them are similar deformed or fabricated forms. Fish were created anyway. Fish were created after their kinds on the fifth day, and the land animals were created after their kinds on the sixth day by God. Genesis chapter 1, 21 says that God created every winged bird after its kind on the fifth day. On the fifth day, God created the birds according to their kind. Evolutionists claim that primitive land animals evolved into the birds or birds. Now, imagine the process that the land animals evolve into the birds, just like an evolutionist claim. First, its front legs would have to become wings, and their rear legs would change into legs of the bird. Let's say that land animals evolve into the birds. Then, number of the toes will change, and that these trunky legs will change into thin legs like those of birds. Think about that. Trunky legs have to change it to the very thin legs like a branch. How will these intermediate creatures eat while they evolve? If no one provides food, they will all die while evolving. How can they exist and evolve for hundreds or millions of years? In the time they have to evolve for tens of thousands of years without getting sick? What is the probability of this happening? Without any getting sick, without any get illness or disease, it's probably less than 1 in 100 million. The structure of a body and the internal organs must so also change to form that can fly. The skin must be covered with feathers. Birds must have feathers. If they don't have feathers, they cannot survive. Why? Because they are high in the air. They are cold, so they must have feathers to protect their bodies. So that they can fly in the cold places without being cold? Because feathers. A worse thing is, even if animals happen to have wings, it will not make animals fly right on the spot. Let's suppose there's a good car with an engine with lots of the horsepower. If someone installed the wings on the both sides of the car, can this car now fly in the air? No matter how many years pass by, this car cannot fly in the air. In order to fly, its structure and the shape will have to be changed to be like that of an airplane or a helicopter. This does not mean that car can fly by adding wings to it. The structure must be changed again, like a helicopter or airplane. Just as a car cannot be roughly modified to become an airplane, then animals cannot evolve into the birds. Land animals cannot evolve into the birds that fly. If you take a close look at the birds, you can find that birds are constructed specially so that they can fly in the air. Even the most minute details, such as the shape of the characteristic of a bird's body structure and its instincts, were created to be a server for flying in the sky. Not only birds, but all creatures have outstanding abilities to survive in a given environment. Creatures cannot obtain this ability by themselves. It's given by God the Father. And so in Job chapter 12, 7 to 9, it says this, "But now ask the beast, and let them teach you, and the birds of the heavens, and let them tell you or speak to earth, and let it teach you, and let the fish or sea declare to you, who among all this does not know that the hands of the Lord has done this?" The hand of God, our Father, created each and every one, every creature. The scripture says that if animals could speak, they could clearly explain that they were created by the hands of God the Father, Creator. Even animals know about God the Creator, but men who are endowed with perceptions don't seek God and do not believe in God. It's such a pity. By the way, people admit that certain animals and plants have a very unique and outstanding abilities. They study these abilities to copy and apply them to cutting-edge technologies. This kind of a study is called biomimetics, or more commonly called biomimicry. Here are some couple of byproducts of this study. First, there is a full-body swimming suit to which the principle of the shark scales are applied. Some sharks swim at the speed of 80 kilometers per hour. How fast is it? Sharks swim to 80 kilometers while cutting through the water. The scales of such a high speed of sharks are equipped with a device that reduces frictional resistance. A full-body swimsuit made using the principle of a shark scales provide a 10% to 15% less resistance than the regular swimsuit. It allows for a swimmer to swim forwards much easier in the water. This full-body swimming suit first appeared in the 2000s Sydney Olympics game. And the swimmers wearing this full-body swimming suit won 25 out of the 33 gold medals in the swimming events. Swimming is a competition where every 0.01 second counts, and the power of a full-body swimsuit that reduces resistance by the 10 or 15% is fully demonstrated. The technology that utilizes the principle of a shark scale is used not only for swimming suit but also for transporting vehicles such as cars and planes, and submarine technology to minimize the water resistance. As another example, myself and Abanolan also have an amazing ability. Muscles are known to have a strong adhesive protein. These proteins make the muscles able to stick to rock under the seawater. These adhesive protein that muscles have is stronger yet more flexible than any other man-made adhesive. Since the adhesive protein of the muscles is natural, it's safe for the human body, and thus it can be used as a medical adhesive to join the torn skin or broken bones. Since this adhesive maintains its strength in water, it can be very useful to construct ships or battleships. God created each kind of muscles and balloons so that they wouldn't be carried away by the tide and could stick to rocks. Did they evolve by themselves to create this adhesive that allows them to stick to the rock and like that? Did they evolve like that? If that case, then those muscles must be tens of times more wise and intelligent than humans. If they had the ability to evolve like that. The shell of an balloon is very hard. It looks so hard, right? A study showed that a balloon's shell is very strong due to its unique structure. If the structure of the balloon's shell is applied, people can create very hard materials. An American research team used the balloon's shell structure to invest the tank armor. A spider's web seems fragile, but it's 5 times stronger than iron of the same thickness. Spider webs are 5 times stronger than the steel of the same thickness. Look at the spider web. Whether it's on a tree or inside a house, you can see these big spiders coming down on their webs. You can barely see the thread. It's so thin. But the spiders come down on it. When they come down, touch it, they go up again. And this thin web, very visible to eyes, but the web is barely cut off while the spider climbs it down. That's how strong it is. A web that is 1 millimeter thick is capable of supporting a full-grown man. Once again, web 1 millimeter thick can support a full-grown man. In addition, the web is as soft as a silk and yet more durable than nylon, and it has excellent elastic. So if one prey is caught in it, the whole thing shakes like this. If something big is caught, it doesn't tear and there's no hole left. Otherwise, a bee or something like that could fly through it but not able to get out. And because it has the property of allowing air to pass through but not allowing moisture to penetrate, it is used to make a bulletproof vest parachutes. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the major objects of the biomimics study in its dragonfly, with which you are well familiar, is actually difficult to catch dragonflies with bare hands. When you try to catch a dragonfly that is sitting on the something, it quickly flies away. It can hover in the air and instantly fly at the speed of the 50 kilometers an hour. There are many American research teams that are trying to apply this technique to a fighter plane. Dragonflies can fly freely forward and backward. They don't have to spin around, just fly back and forth freely. They flap their wings 40 times per second. No matter how fast you move your arms, you can't do this 40 times, not even 20 times, 10 times. It's not easy for a person to move their arms 10 times per second. But dragonflies flap their wings 40 times per second. But dragonflies flip 40 times per second. If a person uses their arms this much, the shoulder around area where the arms meet the torso will be severely strained. If you move like that, you will have a lot of pain in your arms and the shoulders. Yeah, absolutely. There would be so much pain. However, dragonflies are fine even when they do that countless times thanks to the elastomeric protein called resilin, which can be found in their wing hinge. The elasticity of this elastomeric proteins is so outstanding that scientists developed an artificial resilin after the model of this protein. Moreover, the important body parts of the dragonflies are covered by the liquid material. So even when a dragonfly flies at the top speed and the experience of the force of up to 30 times its own body weight, its inner organs are protected. A new type of the flying gear is under development after the model of this principle. Moreover, dragonflies can approach their prey from its foot and stretch their legs to snatch the prey. This technique has a 97% of a success rate. Dragonflies have to catch a dozen of the mosquitoes a day. Dragonflies may look long and small, but they have a 97% chance of catching the moth and the mosquitoes. That means out of the 100, they miss about the 3 and the catch 97. An American research team is studying this nervous system that dragonflies use to catch food and developing a new plane guidance system. The eyes of dragonflies are quite interesting as well. The dragonfly has a pair of the compound eyes, each of them, which consists of the roughly 28,000 ommatidia. A compound eye is the convex eye consisting of the numerous separate light-sensitive unit. But what's surprising is that the shape of this individual's eyes are all hexagons. You can see that now. The entire things you see now is a compound eye. And each and every one of those individual size, 28,000 in number, is in the shape of the regular hexagon. Right? Oh, it's a really amazing. The eyes are hexagons, and the water is also hexagons. This whole thing is like this. Did it evolve to become like this? Think about it. Just this one dragonfly has a 28,000 individual size that come together to form compound eyes. And each of these 28,000 individual size is a hexagon. How can this evolution be possible? The Creator God created the eyes like this because the dragonflies need them. I told you that the number six means a complete state in a first heaven, which is a fleshly space. Dear brothers and sisters, if you think about the perfect number, it's seven, but it's a spiritual number in the Bible. In the physical world, in the first heaven, the state of the perfection is six. That's what I'm saying. I also told you that the hexagon is the most stable and the well-balanced of the polygons. Besides the dragonflies, and there are other insects that have a compound eyes, which consists of the hexagonal ommatidia. Honeybees, butterflies, and ants have hundreds of thousands of hexagonal ommatidia as well. But dragonflies have the most number of the ommatidia among the insects. Therefore, without turning its head, the dragonfly can't see front, red, the left, and the right side at the same time. So this means that dragonflies can see up, down, in the front, and the behind without any turning their head. They don't have to turn their eyes because their eyes, the structure is like that. So it's easy to catch the, not easy to catch a dragonfly. Dragonfly can be seen from all sides, from over there to over there. Scientists studied the eyes of the dragonflies and invented the optimal camera lenses, which have a 360-degree view. We see a lot of benefits from the dragonflies in the scientific community. They say that they've created these things by the studying dragonflies. It's deployed on a commercial scale endoscopes, which can sense of a minutes changes inside a human body, and the cameras which can shoot tiny movement with a 360 view angles. Let me tell you another great ability of the dragonfly. BBC News reported on the July 14, 2009 that the dragonfly became a champion in an insect marathon. It means a dragonfly is the insect that can fly the farthest distance. Until then, the monarch, a marathon champion of the insect world, was a monarch butterfly, which flies 7,000 kilometers around the tree from the Mexico to Canada. However, biologists in Maldives found after a 10-year-long research that the dragonflies can fly much farther. He found that the dragonflies travel 14,000 to 18,000 kilometers from the India to Africa every year. Like a monarch butterflies, it took four generations for dragonflies to make around the tree. This will continue to be studied in the future. But the dragonfly's migration routes included 800 kilometers of a sea. That means that the sea is included in the migration process, so there is 800 kilometers of a sea. This means that the dragonfly must continue to fly at least 800 kilometers without stopping for a moment. To cross this ocean, you have to fly 800 kilometers without resting. Otherwise, if they want to rest, they have to land on the ocean. If they land and try to fly again after doing this, it will be more tiring, and there's not anything to eat. So it's still a mystery how dragonflies can cross the ocean and sail that far. In the next lecture, I will explain the creation work of the sixth day. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this lecture, I told you, explained that God created the fish and the birds after their kinds and their didn't evolve. In conclusion, evolution is impossible. There's not even one percent chance of the evolution. How can so many things evolve and become like this with something that simply does not exist? Never possible. Even one out of the 100. I also explained how man studied the special ability of the animals and the plants and how they copy the ability to cutting-edge technologies. Those who are good in the heart will acknowledge and believe that God the Creator does exist only by the looking at the special abilities that animals and the plants possess. It is because they themselves know that it's never possible to attain such a special ability through the evolution. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, 26, look at these birds of the air, that they do not sow, not reap, or gather into the barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? This means that even these birds are raised by the Father God. How much more so? Why doesn't God feed and clothe the sons and daughters of God? He does everything. If you become a son or a daughter of God, He will feed you, clothe you, and keep you from starving or getting sick. Therefore, the Bible says, your heavenly Father feeds you. Are you not much more valuable than they? God the Father always wants to give only the best things to His children. Since love should go hand in hand with justice, however, you should ask God the Father for it by faith. God the Father surely gives answers to those who seek by faith. So Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, 9 to 11, or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then being evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you what is good to those who ask Him? God the Father is full of grace. He always wants to give everything to His lovely children again and again. Just as He created all things with His word, nothing is impossible for God the Father. And He has added that nothing will be impossible to those who believe in this God. Therefore, I hope that you live your life saying, I can do everything in God who gives me strength. You should never let you down or doubt the promise of a God before the reality that seems negative. May your faith grow stronger every day and give glory to Father God by bearing the fruit all the time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.